first
believed. Brother Jamie Hancock,
Lord be with you, Brother Jamie.
Thank you.
We love you.
I pray the Lord's blessing upon us. I made mention last time I was here that of the train track beside where I get my dentist office is at, and I asked the girl, how did they stand the noise? And she said, after a while, she didn't pay attention to it. Well, when I drove up this morning through the Shenandoah Valley, I thought the same thing. When I first come up here, I was just in awe of the mountains when I first come. But I drove up this morning not even recognizing they were there. So as we gather forth today, children of God, and the association that's met year after year all these years, we need to remember that we have a doctrine that we must stand on.
Amen.
And we must learn it.
Amen.
And we must ask God and beg God to help us rightly divide it. Very important. The Apostle Paul said that he was put into the ministry and that the gospel was committed unto him. That's a great commitment,
amen,
children of God, and it's a very important thing. I appreciate this opportunity. I appreciate seeing all of you, and I pray the Lord's blessing upon us. If you have your Bibles, turn them to Job chapter 19. Fundamental doctrine that without this doctrine that Job prayed that would be remembered, we have no basis for nothing that we're doing. Job was a great man in the days. He was a great prophet. His 42 chapters of the book of Job, he has great prophecies all through it. Look them up. You'll be amazed at how the Holy Spirit gave him wisdom in his day.
Amen.
Scholarly men say this has got to be one of the oldest books. Well, I know it's not, it can't surpass first 11 chapters of Genesis, because Jesus on the road to Emmaus said he started at Moses and taught him all the way up. So we're not really clear when Job was recorded or when he lived. Men have got it pinned down, but it really doesn't matter. What matters is that the Holy Spirit has no boundaries, and that he visited the people of God in the days of the Old Testament just like he does today.
Amen.
And there's no bounds. And you'll find the same doctrine. The Jews didn't understand this, a lot of them. Jesus told them in John chapter 6, search the Scriptures. He was talking about the Old Testament. For in them you think you have eternal life. Search them. And Jesus is saying, when you search them, you're going to find me.
Yeah.
They are that testify of me. So search them out.
Right.
We find Jesus all through the Old Testament manifested in different ways. Children of God. And Job has got something here that's fundamental for us to remember and to teach as we go on. Very familiar. He says in that Job chapter 19, verse 23. Oh, that my words were not written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. Job was a man that God said he eschewed evil. Deliberately stayed away from evil. He's a perfect, upright man. In that first several chapters, we see Job's troubles come upon him. But oh, don't just be satisfied with that account. Read through the pages of the 42 chapters of Job. You're going to be amazed at the references Job makes. Job is telling us here, children of God, oh, that my words were now written, oh, that they were printed in a book. Well, Job, you'll find out in the early chapters, it was printed in a book, the devil telling the truth. Can you believe it? Well, how can he do that? He's the father of liars. But he told the truth this time because he was talking to God. Have you considered my servant Job? And the devil says, what use is it? You've got him hedged about.
Right.
How can I put my hand on him? That's my words. I tell the church at Old Mill, I'll get you close, look it up.
Yeah.
The devil is saying something that's so very important. Why should I consider him?
Right.
Does he serve you for nothing?
Yeah.
You got it right, Satan. There's a benefit to serving God. Heaven is not the benefit. Heaven is not a reward. Heaven is a showering of grace and mercy. But there's a great benefit to serving the God in the Old Testament
Amen. And
in the New.
Amen.
So the devil is right, and he's printed right here in Job's book. What use is it to serve? I can't do nothing with him.
Right.
Have you considered him? My servant Job.
Yeah.
He's perfect and upright. He's mature. He prays. In one of the chapters, he gives just like New Testament is taught to give. And he give according to his abundance. Oh, Job is a wonderful place to find some truths of God. And Job said, that my words, what I'm feeling, what I see about God, if it would just go on after me, I think is what he's saying.
Yeah.
He said, if my words were now written, if they were printed
in a book.
Job, do you think Job, all these years later,
to
think somebody would even consider him? Children of God, if the Lord hadn't preserved his word, we wouldn't have it.
Amen.
I told, I was at Lawyer Spring in North Carolina last weekend for 2 days, enjoyed it so very much. And we had a good crowd. And the pastor's always worrying about, this was not here, and this was, I know that. But I told Brother Joe, I said, I'm surprised anybody's here. The way we've chased the world, the way I'm talking about me, the way I've treated my Lord, I'll be back when I get ready. The devil's got it right. It's a great benefit Job's got, and this is it. I can't touch him.
Right.
Now, he certainly can't take his life, but he certainly can make our life miserable, can't he?
Yeah.
But I found that Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest.
Yeah.
So there's a benefit. Although the devil, with his slyness, he'll set a trap for you. I understand all of that. And he never takes a break. But we've got a great benefit.
Amen.
We've got our Lord that walked before us.
Amen.
That taught us. That left a record of all these men and women through the scriptures. That we can find peace and joy. And it's written in this book. I can't do nothing with Job. How can I? That's just a very important part of Job's writings. Verse 24, Job 19. That they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever.
Right.
Job, you're talking about an everlasting God, aren't you? Job, how did you know all of this? Maybe you learned it from Abraham. Nope. Before Abraham. Maybe you learned it from one of the prophets. You don't mention none of them. Listen, Job was visited by the Spirit of God like the men of old were.
Amen.
And his manifestation was in different a way than he was in the New Testament. I get that. But the Spirit is God. It's always been here because you can't separate the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You just can't do it. If you think you can, Job's friend said something very interesting about the Spirit in the 42 chapters of Job. Job said, that if it was penned, an iron pen, and laid in the rock forever. I was in Lynchburg Hospital yesterday. Little Daphne, she's about 8 years old at Oatmeal Church, had surgery. And the mom and daddy's going through a trial and losing jobs. You know the situation. And they talked to me, and Brother Jason said, Jamie, one thing I'm not going to do, it's my intent, it's not going to do through these hard times as he leave the church. I said, listen, that's the biggest mistake people make. The Apostle Paul said in the latter chapters of Acts, he told the men that wouldn't listen to him about taking this journey on a ship, he told them, he says, not good, we shouldn't go. Paul said, you should have hearkened unto me.
Right.
Sometimes we need to read this book and just hearken unto it.
Amen.
The ship is tore all to pieces. Paul said, you should have hearkened unto me. And then he tells them this, unless you abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. He's not talking about heaven there, but he's using that word saved. Don't jump out of the ship into the raging sea. Stay in the ship. Hold on to the boards. Grab a hold to a rope. It doesn't matter. It's the thing Job is telling us, that it's forever. And we'll need the benefit of it until the day that we take our last breath. Oh, if it could just... I think it was at Job 23. I'm sorry, Gary, but I can't...
You go with it.
Job, his last several months has been so wonderful to me. If I had the mind as these preachers have... Job thinks, he even tells his wife, you talk like one of them foolish women. Yeah. Job has seen a great benefit because the Lord God of heaven had visited him.
Amen.
He says in Job 23, just a few verses. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold.
Yeah.
My foot hath held his steps. His wave has I kept and not declined. Then he says this. Everybody ready? Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. Amen. Well, let me tell you something, children of God. Noah sacrificed to God before Abraham. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Job did too.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, Abraham was the starting of the Levitical law and all the sacrifices. But Noah and Job sacrificed before that. And Job is telling us something here so very important that we need to really teach my children, my grandchildren. I try to teach them, and sometimes it don't seem to fit in, but we just keep walking and showing them. Job says, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. You mean God?
Amen.
Dealt with people in the Old Testament?
Amen. Yes, he did.
I thought he didn't do that till he breathed on them in the book of Acts. He made himself manifest and sent them forth with authority.
Yes,
I understand that.
Yes, he did.
But he dealt with his people all the way from days of Adam and Eve and Abel and Seth and Enos and, oh, good gracious, no end to it. That's Moses and Joshua. He's an everlasting God.
Amen.
So how should we treat it? Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Now that's some good stuff. I'm going to read that again. That sounds like my mom and grandma. That's exactly who it sounds like. All right, Jamie, you ready to go? We didn't get to go a whole lot. You know, it's a generation that's been lost in this country, that's been forgotten. And that were the sharecroppers. They're not mentioned much. My daddy was one. I wasn't. My daddy and his daddy. That was the men that didn't have a farm. That worked hard as they could to raise their children. And they had to work for this man to make their living. There were some good men and there were some bad men. But it's a whole generation that's forgotten of that. Those sharecroppers. And they were enduring people. A hard-working people, and work their lives to feed their family. Job is saying here, listen, oh, if my words could be penned, if like an iron pen, but he is of one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth.
Yeah.
Listen, children of God, I think Job is right on the money here. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. If we could grasp that, we'd be eager on Sunday mornings.
Amen.
We would pray and look forward to the meetings. We would be like the old folks that cooked on wood stoves.
Yes.
And kept tender. Brother Joe Hams told me, he said, Brother Mike told me last weekend, they can remember having 21 people in a 3-room house. He said, Mama said, all right, y'all sit down. I'll have you something to eat in a minute. Those folks had, It was an enduring word to them. And that's what Job is saying. Oh, that my words would just go from me and not be lost, the things that I want to tell y'all about the great God of heaven.
Amen.
That's what he's saying.
Amen.
That's what he's summing up. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. It make you a better preacher. Make you a better pastor. Make you a better everything.
Absolutely, brothers.
If we could just grasp that.
Amen.
I think Job is telling us something here so very important. And I'm wondering sometimes that I myself, I've talked some, all I do is talk. I just admit it. If you come to my house, you might be ready to listen. I'm going to tell you what, children of God. I love the Lord. And I'm expecting Him to come get me anytime.
Yeah.
He's promised that.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like He loves. I say this often. I mean it from the bottom of my heart. I told my son and my wife last week, children of God, and I've said this over and over because it happens seemingly more than I can imagine ever happening. If the Lord comes gets me, I hope you miss me. But don't. This is what I beg for. And that's what Job is saying. Oh, what a great benefit because of what Jesus has done for us. Oh, He's more than our necessary food. Lord, allow me not to say anything that would cause harm to Thy children. Lord, allow me to serve with boldness and the surety of Thy Word. But Lord, allow me not to be hard.
Right.
Lord, allow me to remember the words of Job, children of God, that He is to us should be more than our necessary food. He doesn't say just food. He says our necessary food.
Amen.
See, them folks dealt with necessary food.
Amen.
A lot of times it was a necessary thing if they had it.
Right.
Oh, He says, oh, back in Job 19. And then He says these wonderful words. Have we heard this? I'll give you a minute. Have we heard this too much?
No.
I told Brother Gary on the phone. A good preacher said he was painting his house. He bought a brand new bucket of paint, set it to the side. Went back a year later, picked it up, and it had separated. All the clear was at the top. And he looked at your paint. And he said, well, honey, I need to go buy another gallon of paint. But me being a not only a rubber worker, tire maker, but also a painter part-time for 30 years, I knew that if it was oil-based paint, it's okay before he even said it. He said, well, honey, I'm going to stir it up. Let's just see what happens. He said, well, I took a stick and stirred the paint up. The more I stirred it, the prettier it got. And he said, I found out when I called Sherwin-Williams, the man said, it's nothing wrong with it. It just needed stirring up. So sometimes, children of God, we just need stirring up. And Job wants us to remember this. For I know my Redeemer liveth.
Amen.
Oh, have we heard it so much that we go right past the mountains and don't even see them?
Yeah.
Job knows something that theologians for ages in their ivory towers don't know. That Jesus was a Redeemer in the past tense.
Amen.
And He didn't come here to offer salvation to anybody.
No.
He came here to buy back with payment His possession.
Amen.
That's and Job knows that. And Job says, you know what? He's a Redeemer. And he bought, what price did He pay? See, it doesn't really make, it's just not a full circle. It's not the surety of God. He's got to rise again.
Amen.
You can't just offer the payment. You've got to offer a payment that sustains what the debt is owed. Now, if Jesus didn't arise again,
right,
this don't matter. Job, what you're saying don't matter. He says, I know my Redeemer liveth.
Right.
We know that He died, but He lived again.
Amen.
And if He hadn't rose again, children of God, the old Baptist preachers through the mountains, in the Mississippi Valley, in Alabama, all over this country, in the old Swiss Alps over there, in the German towns, in the old country, they all preach the same thing, and they give their lives. Whole villages were wiped out because they said He was a Redeemer, not a man-made a servant of some governmental church. He was a Redeemer. That means He did exactly what the Lord sent Him to do.
Amen.
So we need to stir that pain up And the more you stir it, the purer it gets, children of God. And Job knew that. He said, oh, if it was just written in a book, if it was just pinned down where folks wouldn't forget it, maybe my children will read it one day. Maybe this will benefit somebody. I'm just talking here now, children of God. Listen, he said, oh, I know. You hear this a lot at funerals. I hear men quote this and just quit like it's just something to say. Do you understand what you're saying?
Yeah.
Job, how do you know he's yours? I know my Redeemer liveth. I mentioned this the last time. I remember because Brother Stan quoted it when I was when I said it. Brother Stan, he even quoted it. In the last chapter, he said, I've heard thee by the hearing of the ear, and I see it thee with my eye. Yeah, Job had it right. He's a Redeemer. He's not one that came here and didn't redeem children of God. In buildings, in theologian, it's a Lynchburg, and I've said this before, it's a college in Lynchburg that has done a lot of wonderful things. It's a good school. Don't throw no apples at me. It's a good thing, you understand? But it's the largest Christian university, I think. But do you know it's based on a lie? It is. It's based on a lie. Now, don't take... Look, if I could have afforded to send my... two of my three children went to school. If they would have wanted to go to Liberty, yes, that's a good school. Please don't get me wrong. Please don't get me wrong. Because that place has done a lot in community and done a lot for this country. But listen, children of God, Job's got it right. This stuff is pinned down. You know, if you went up there and preached what we believe to this, Jesus would help. Jesus got his hand sticking out. If you'll just grab it, the school would dry up. Job had it right. He's a Redeemer.
Amen.
One that bought back with payment. That's what redeem means. Children of God. Oh, that I know my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at a latter day upon the earth. He's going to stand. You know, Jesus wasn't wrestled to the cross. Jesus wasn't, y'all grab a hold to him. No. Jesus could have destroyed him.
Yes.
He laid his life down. Oh, but they, make no mistake, they murdered him.
Yeah.
In their mind, they murdered him.
Yeah.
But no, he laid his life down. Job is saying, oh, listen, if this would go on forever. Well, it has gone on forever, Job. It has gone on forever. You know, Job in one of the chapters says, oh, if I conceal my sins like Adam. Think about that one. He mentions Adam. I'm not a theologian. I'm the least of my brethren. I'm just Jamie, and I'm happy being there. But I'm telling you, it's written right here that he had some knowledge about Adam. In the days, he said, oh, I could see all my sins, my transgression maybe, like Adam. That's wonderful knowledge. Lord, where did you learn this? That he mentions him by name. Oh, I said, you know, Adam, oh, we know the story. Adam, I mentioned this. I don't know nothing. I ain't said it four or five times. I'm just glad to be here. God said, Adam, did you eat of that fruit of the tree? And instead of saying, yes, Father, he said, the woman you gave me, it's her fault. You gave her to me, and it's her fault. And Job mentions that. Oh, if I could just, this is something worth writing down. Oh, if it's just written in a book. Oh, I know my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And here he is. He believes in the resurrection too. Amen. Get this right here. And though after the skin worm destroyed this body, Job, how did you learn about the resurrection? This is wonderful. Though after my skin worm destroy this body, yes. Yet in my flesh shall I see God.
Amen.
Well, you know what? This is before David.
Sure.
Said Psalm 17:15. As for me, I shall behold his face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. I think John, maybe in the New Testament, says it doesn't yet appear what we shall be, but we do know that when he shall appear, we shall see him as he is. I think that's close. Sure. Well, Job knew this before all the boys knew it. Ain't that amazing? Ain't that amazing how the God of no time, a God of a godly power of no limits can touch his hearts of his children. And Job, and I think as we go through our associations, I was at one down in North Carolina, I believe it's in the Little River, the other year, and the preacher got up after somebody preached and said, old preacher, he said, didn't remember his name. He said, I thought the association was for us to tell you what we still believe year after year. And I think he's right. Yeah. I think he's right. We need to confirm it. We need to tell it. And we need to rehearse it. And we need to keep that doctrine more than a necessary food of our heart. And this is a basis, the foundation of the New Testament in many ways. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God.
Amen.
When you're ravaged with cancer, when your trials and troubles have stricken you. I saw Brother Brandon Hooven, that young, strong man, has cancer around his heart. His hair has fallen out. He looked good. He's all of his treatments. Who knows? You think if you're young and strong, you won't be sick? I'm telling you, children of God, we need to remember this. If the Lord doesn't allow me to live, just like Job says, you know, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. The scripture says we need to realize that after this is over with, there's something better than this. We're going to see Jesus.
Amen.
We're going to see our God in a perfect way. And Job knew this. Whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold. You know, I might glance at this. I glanced at this recorder when I come up here. This is beholding.
Sure. Absolutely. Looking at.
How can you behold God?
Oh, boy.
Oh, Job, I think now I see why you want it. Oh, if my words were not written, oh, that they were printed in a book. Oh, that they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. For I know my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh
shall. Yeah, isn't that something?
This is the day that the Lord hath made.
We will.
Most folks say this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us. It says we will.
We will rejoice.
Yet in my flesh shall I see God. Do you ever want to just see him? Do you ever get excited about seeing him?
Yeah.
We had our weekend meeting the other weekend. And my little grandbaby, she's 2 years old. She's sitting in the back. I'm sitting this way. I'm hearing, Papa, 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 Papa. She just, you know, it's just most thrilling words that a mortal man can hear. Well, I'm sitting up, and all of a sudden, I look around, and here she comes, a little girl with her hand stretched out. She's coming to her papa. She grabs me and sits there and looks at the preacher. He's preaching kind of loud. Looks at the preacher like, are you mad or are you just loud? But the point is, she could not wait to get to her papa. And same with her mama, same with her grandma. Listen, Job is telling us something here, children of God. We're going to see God. How in the world can we fathom that? But maybe we can't. So let's just keep on telling it. Let's just keep on thinking about it. We're going to see him. We're going to see him face to face in a world that has no end, in a world that has no troubles, no trials, and everything's going to be fixed just like this. Malachi, I think, said he's going to come into his temple quickly one day. I know that's manifested in the New Testament age. I know it comes into our heart. I know it's different applications of it. But I'm telling you right now, children of God, when I was at the emergency room with several years ago with the man that was addicted on drugs and all type of stuff. Well, he had a terrible life. And he died, 45 years old, of a heart attack. Medications that just took his organs and destroyed them. Anyway, when we got into the emergency room when he died, he looked. His mama said, the young man joined the church. It's a good man. We're this close. We should never think that we're not this close to making bad decisions. And we can be right in that shape before we realize it. Oh, Lord, hedge us about. Lord, hedge us about. Amen. That's what Job is saying. It's a great benefit. Hedge us about. Amen. Her mama said, you know what? He's not suffering now. I said, Wanda, he's been made whole instantly. Instantly. All of a sudden, just that instant, all of his sins were gone. And he's in perfect paradise. That's what Job says here. But Job is telling us something here that's so wonderful we cannot forget it. And that is about the resurrection. I think this is so fitting. You know, I sat there this morning. Brother Gary said, look, children of God, I love it when the Lord gives me a little liberty to preach.
Amen.
It's an awesome thing to think about it because that don't always happen.
Sure, absolutely.
And when it don't, you get through it and try to say something not to hurt.
Right.
But it's a terrible emptiness.
It is.
So I'm sitting there this morning thinking, you know, it's like working all night and thinking you ain't done nothing. So Brother Gerson, you're going to be here through lunch tomorrow. That's my sign is, well, I'm going to hear some good preaching today. Well, I'm thinking, well, that's good, Lord, because I really don't have much on my mind. And one of the greatest revelations to my heart is that's okay.
Yeah.
I don't have to make up an hour speech.
No.
Or 20 or 30 minutes. It took me a long time to learn it. But as soon as Brother Gary said that, I think, Lord, I got an opportunity.
Yeah.
Lord, give me just a little something.
Amen.
And then I thought, you know, that's the reason that the New Testament, the Apostle Paul tells his young preacher to Timothy to study unto God.
Amen.
If we read and study as much as we can, the Lord just liable to give us a little something.
Amen.
Even though we may not have it all like we think we ought to have it.
Right.
I've had sermons I thought was just exactly right and get up here. Say, oh, Lord. But I'm telling you, Job had this right. Turn your scriptures to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Apostle Paul tells us some wonderful things here
absolutely.
Too, children of God. He's almost saying what Job has already said. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand,
amen.
By which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. There's the word saved again.
Amen.
And it's certainly not talking about heaven and the mortal glory.
Amen.
It's talking about a deliverance of things we need to remember.
Amen.
And what should we remember, Paul?
Right.
What should we really hold on to? And he says this. For I delivered unto you first of all, which I also received, how Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures.
Amen.
Christ done something. That's what I was telling you. He's a Redeemer. He died for your sins. We've heard this so much, we need to put it in a bucket and stir it up and quit not stirring it and just keep shaking that paint. He died for our sins. Sins. I might help you one day when you look in the mirror. It helps us help me. Lord, if you didn't die for my sins, there's no hope for me. This is wonderful suffering. According to the Scriptures. According to what Scriptures? The Old Testament. That's right. According to the Scriptures. Jesus used it himself. When the devil tempted, so-called tempted, Jesus says, as it is written. He always referred to the Scriptures. Why? Because he's the author of them.
Yeah.
What should we remember? That he died for our sins. I'll bet you 200 years ago, some old preacher come up here. I can see him now with his clothes on. He'd probably been working in the woods probably hunting whatever this mountainous region would do. Men that the earth had aged, had you know, make them strong, but they worked and worked and worked. I'll guarantee you, children of God, 200 years ago, I'll bet you they were preaching the same gospel. Amen. Yes, they were. We wouldn't know it today. I mean, of course, the Lord has to reveal His Spirit to us, but these are fundamental things brought up on the Old Testament. Job speaks about them. Abraham speaks about them. Joshua speaks about them. And now Paul is telling us in 1 Corinthians 15, one of the many times that this is mentioned.
Amen.
What should we remember? We need to remember that the Lord died for our sins.
Amen.
And He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures.
That's exactly right.
This is not something that should put us to sleep.
No. Amen.
It does.
Yeah, it shouldn't.
It shouldn't.
No, it should wake us up.
This is such exciting news you can never hear enough.
Right. Amen.
Because I'm telling the children of God, we all look for that eternal day where we'll see God, but we may have a few days before that.
Yeah.
Oh, we've such a cloud of witnesses, fundamental doctrinal truths. And then He was seen of Cephas and of the 12. After that, He was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain until this present. But some are falling asleep. We need to remember, Stephen fell asleep. Children, the patriarchs of old, the Lord put them to sleep. We need to remember that when we get older, as our bodies fail one by one, there's a sleep coming for us. The natural may take us in a hard way, but the Lord is going to just put you to sleep. Here it is again. Here it was in the days of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Lord put them to sleep and said, Stephen fell asleep as the Lord put him to sleep. After that, He was seen of James and then of all the apostles. Of last of all, He was seen of me also as one born out of due time. Paul is saying, I seen Him in a vision and I shouldn't have seen Him. If anybody should have seen Him, it shouldn't have been me. Is that your case? That's my case. If anybody should have seen Jesus, Paul would say, I persecuted the church violently. Not only with my commandments, but with my voice. And I put them in prison. It didn't matter whether they were women, children, or men. So listen, I was born way out of due time. But the Lord had mercy on me and showed His grace on me. And by the grace of God, I am what I am today. Children of God, the Apostle Paul is right here. I'm not least of the apostles, and I'm not meant to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. Well, I should have just waited, Brother Gary. I could have just read it.
That was good.
And by the grace of God, I am what I am.
Amen.
And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain.
Right.
Paul said, listen, I know what I used to be, but I ain't that now. Ain't that something? You know, some folks, when they lose weight, I told Brother Gary last month, you're half the man you used to be. You might say, I'm not the man I used to be. I ain't, and I'm glad that I'm not. And that's what Paul is saying. When the Lord bestowed His grace upon me, I didn't just take it for granted. That's what Job is saying. Oh, he says in that Job, 23 or 29, oh, that I might find Him, that I could just come before His seat, and if I could just complain, and if I could just leave my prayers and complaints with Him, would He raise His mighty hand against me? Job said, no, but He'll make me to come out like gold. No, He'll have mercy on me. That's what Job said, and that's what Paul, is that not what Paul is saying right here? Paul is saying, oh, I should not have got this. Grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, I was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. All of us pastors here today, if we ain't labored like we should, and I know I haven't, let's start tomorrow. Let's do it abundantly. Let's not forget that this is something Job and the Old Testament and the patriarchs lived by and they died by. And it's good enough for us today. Or we can be like Acts chapter 15. Oh, no, 17. Yeah, 15 is where they where they said, you know, disciples got to be circumcised, or they can't, you know, they can't join with us. And Paul set them straight real quick, said, no, they're going to be saved by grace just like we are. But 17, you'll find these Athenians. Listen to me. I've heard some preachers, and this is exactly what I hear. I know I'm a jello preacher. I get it. That's what they've called me before. Daddy said, it ain't what they call you, boys. What you answer to. But this ain't jello right here.
No.
Jello preachers, I've been called, it's kind of like, no, it has no substance to it. Now this is other preachers telling me. This, children of God, Apostle Paul said, it's very important. Acts chapter 17, you have a group of people there that they can do nothing else but looking and find some new thing. That was the Greeks.
Right.
I've heard preachers like that.
Yeah. Right.
Heard them over and over and over. I don't criticize them. I'm certainly not gonna question a man's gift. But there's some greatness in these words.
Yes.
And absolutely, we should search in all the... It's just all for us. All of it.
Absolutely.
Duty and grace.
Absolutely.
And I'm not criticizing because I preach plenty of duty at Old Mill.
Amen.
But I'm saying, sometimes the pain just needs stirring.
Right.
Sometimes the most wonderful scriptures is just right here before us.
Amen.
Looking all through the Apostle Paul said, oh, it's just therefore whether I preach or so as we preach.
You're worried about that.
So you believe. If Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there's no resurrection of the dead?
Right.
People say it today.
Yeah. They're wrong.
But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen?
Yeah,
that's right. Might as well go on home. You know what? As much as I love y'all, I love my bed more than anything. And if you think I'd come up here, if I weren't expecting to hear some preaching about the risen Savior, it's more than just benevolent stuff. It's more than just feel good, and this does make you feel good, but it's more than that. This is supernatural stuff.
Amen.
They beat him, they buried him, they put him in the tomb. He arose again. We're going to rise again. He said in John chapter 11, Father, I know that you always hear me, but because these that are around me, I say this. Well, the Jesus hears, Father hears your prayers too. And Zechariah, he knew that the angels in Luke chapter 1 I mentioned. I need to quit saying that because everything I mentioned I've either heard somebody else say or I mentioned it four or five times. But in Luke chapter 1 the angel said the Lord has heard your prayer, Zechariah. Well, Zechariah prayed for that child when they were first married. This was years later. The angel shows up, Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God.
Yeah.
The Lord heard your prayers. We'll give you a sign. That's some good stuff.
Amen.
The Lord always hears our prayers. Because He arose, we're going to rise. Absolutely. A lot of you church folks don't see what us pastors see. From time to time, we're asked to do a funeral with people that... And please, excuse my voice, my throat is... It's the worst kind of a feeling when you see a group of good people that has no knowledge of a risen Savior. They have no help. They have no hope. I'm talking about good, hard, decent people. And when they don't have this knowledge, you know what? My saintly mama, grandma, my daddy, children... The Lord's got him in the palms of his hands.
Amen.
They're looking on his beauty right now.
Amen.
I miss them, but oh, I don't want to bring them back.
Amen.
See, that's what he's saying here.
Amen.
If he hadn't risen, we just all just need to go back home,
right.
250 miles straight down a mountain and get back in our bed and eat breakfast with my wife and go see my children. If Christ be not risen, all of this is in vain. But it's not in vain. Well, how do we know that? Because this written word from the days of old up to now. And Paul said this will save us or deliver us if we just keep it in memory.
Amen.
If Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. Oh my goodness. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God.
Right.
This is 1 Corinthians 15, verse 15.
Yeah.
We have found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that He
raised up
Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not.
That's
just foolishness. We need this testimony.
Amen.
Not the testimony of a Savior wringing His hands, wondering what's going to happen. We need this testimony. This testimony is true. Christ is risen, and we're going to rise too.
Amen.
Oh, but we're going to Him. Our soul and spirit will meet Him before the resurrection day. For if Christ be not risen, then your faith is in vain. You are yet in your sins. That's a terrible thought.
Scary. Not
y'all probably not the sinner that I've been, but that's a terrible thought. Job said, oh, that these words were written in a book. And if Christ be not risen, your faith is in vain, and you are yet in your sins.
Then they
awesome. Says in 1 Thessalonians, what is it, 4?
Yeah.
Should I hinder them that
sleep?
Not have you be any brother concerning them that are asleep. If we believe that Jesus that you saw not, even that others with no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them, there's the day.
There you go.
Them and they.
Yeah.
Even so them. I don't know how I know my mama, and I don't know how I know my daddy, but that them, and it's us here, picture two children of God. I don't know how this is going to happen, but they're not disembodied spirits running into each other. I know better than that.
Right, absolutely.
Paul says right here.
Them.
Then they also which are asleep in Christ are perished. Apostle Paul says,
if.
For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. He's coming back. The clouds that you may see in that instant is not rain clouds. It's His saints that are with Him now, and they are coming with Him for their bodies.
Amen.
Just because Jesus arose again. You know what? The resurrection day. Listen, children of God, we can't comprehend it. But this we say unto you, the word of the Lord, we which are alive. Here's the we. Here we. And there's a they. How are we going to know them? I don't understand. I expect I'll know my mama like I dream about her at night. The love. And don't have a face on it.
Sure.
You ever done that?
Yeah.
Like a mama loves a child before it's born. Like a mama weeps over a child that dies at delivery. Weep for months and months of a child that she's never knew, never raised, never fed. That's how I think we'll know each other in heaven. But I know that they and the thee here and them is not just words to take up space. Resurrection day. That we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord should not prevent them which are asleep. This is going to go right back to 1 Corinthians 15. For the Lord Himself.
Right.
For I know my Redeemer liveth.
Amen.
The Lord Himself. He's coming one more time.
Amen.
Shall descend from heaven with a shout. With the voice of the archangel. With the trump of God.
And the dead
shall rise first. There we are. Then we which are alive, that's us, shall be caught up together with them, that's them. Now unless you think they're just disembodied spirits, that's them. The saints have gone on from all the ages, and that's us. Them in the clouds. That we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. When God says together, it means together. To meet the Lord in the air. So we shall ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort you one another with these words. Back to 1 Corinthians 15. As I close this down. In this, he says in 19th verse,
yeah.
If in this life only we have hope in Christ,
yeah.
We're of all men most miserable.
Yeah.
He's saying, oh, it's a whole lot here. Job is saying in Job 19, oh, if I could just write this written in a book.
Yeah.
Job said, oh, if I could just take a bag and sew my sins up. David said, hide me. Is there any? The devil even speaking the truth. I can't touch his body. You got him hedged about. It's a great benefit, him serving you. You protect him.
He
protects us, whether we know it or not.
Yes, he does.
But I want to be an obedient son as much as I can. Yeah. I want to feel his protection. My mom and dad always loved me.
Yeah.
But I sure liked it better when I felt it.
Amen.
Instead of when they had to chastise me. There are people that have made millions of dollars trying to write a book, made a lot of movies about the Lord coming back to the earth, setting up, giving everybody another chance, taking some home, airplanes going to crash, cars are going to run all over. Well, they're doing that now. Look. Oh, they write books. People read them, buy them. Oh, is the Lord coming back one more time, two more times? I'm telling you, children of God, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up? The same Jesus, the way he went up, he's coming back down.
Coming back.
Simple. That's not jello preaching right there.
Right.
Well, Paul wouldn't leave us to be ignorant about that either.
No.
But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, and by man also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Here it is. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming, then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, whom shall have put down all rule and authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet, and the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death.
Right.
Real simple. Then cometh the end.
Right.
Well, is the kingdom of God here yet? Paul said
sure
it was.
Amen.
I mean, this is proof. I have to, you know, much as I love Brother Gary and all you good preachers, I've got to have proof. Well, I'll say, you know, I believe you. I want to see it.
Yeah.
Well, this is proof. Then cometh the end when he shall deliver up the kingdom of God, even the Father. The kingdom's already here.
Amen.
We're all going home together. Job said, oh, that I might write it in a book. Oh, that, well, I'm making up here now.
Yes, sir.
The Lord bless you and keep you. I love y'all. I hope I hadn't kept you too long. Thank you for your kind attention.
Been good.